Siavash, Denny, Bob, and Gabi.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Okay, let's start. So I just sent out an agenda yesterday or the day before yesterday for some of you. Let's do the agenda first. So before getting your approval of the agenda, I'd like to change the second item to action points from the last meeting in place of the last call, because it was a Cartagena meeting. And I'd like to put next meeting before the last item AOB. So any other amendment you need?
No, very good.
Okay.
Well, just to let you know that Giovanni is going to be dialed in too, so he's on his way.
All right. Okay. Let's move on while waiting for him. So the next agenda item is action points from the last meeting. I think on my list, I have three action items that were raised in Cartagena meeting. The first was Secretariat to send out reminders about public comment period. It's done. And the second point was Bart and Chairs to circulate proposed amendment to the interim report reflecting public comments. For this, no public comments were received, so it means no amendment is necessary at this time. So it's done. And the third action item was Bart and Chairs to circulate a document for discussion regarding the rules and guidelines. And for this, I sent a document prepared by Bart to the mailing list a couple of days ago. So it's done. Are there any points I neglected? Bart and Gabi?
No, not to my knowledge.
No.
Okay, thank you. So all the action items are cleared. So let's move to agenda item 3. Comments received during the public comment period. This is easy. As no comments were received, I think this agenda item is done. Okay.
Maybe Hiro, this is Bart.
Yes.
Just one point, one minor point. Say there were some questions raised during the presentation at the CCNSO meeting itself.
Yes.
And I don't know if you consider them part of the public comment or not.
Yes, I personally think that I regard them as public comment.
Yeah.
But I believe that it doesn't need to be reflected to the bylaws itself.
Yeah.
Or our interim report itself.
Okay. But so maybe say what I will do is based on the conclusion of this call, I'll prepare the note for the to close off the public comment period, because it's not open, but it needs to be closed, and so the working group, or I need to submit a overview of the comments, and I'll include that. Say we had this public hearing, but there is no interview of the working group. The comments were addressed, and there was no need to change the interim report based on the questions in the of the audience, and we received no public comment at all in the sense of say, written submissions.
Okay, thank you. So, do members agree? Okay, if we have no objections, so let's move to the next item, which is item 4, next steps regarding the interim report. So as Bob said, he will prepare for the report about the public comments. The situation where no public comments were received to the interim paper should be interpreted that no specific objection or preference was expressed from outside the working group. So given this situation, as our next step, we will discuss further to narrow down the alternatives, preferably into one alternative, for the points that have multiple alternative solutions now. For example, for voting, the interim paper lists up, I think, four alternatives and expresses working group's preference to one vote per territory. And there was no objection for that from the public. So I believe now working group two, we can decide that one vote per territory is the recommendation. So my suggestion is that we discuss this kind of narrowing down in San Francisco meeting with remote participants. So how about my suggestion? May I have your view, please?
Hi, this is Siavash.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a little confused. I thought that what we were going to do now was to talk about the rules. I wasn't in Cartagena, so I don't know what, you know. I looked at the report, but my feeling was that we were going to present this the previous recommendation as it was, rather than go back to it. I mean, I just want to know what, you know, what the plan is. And
I see. Okay. So first of all, we have two kind of documents on the table. So one is the interim report for the change of Article 9 of the bylaws. And the second document is the rules and guidelines. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And for the first one, we've already have an interim report, which was a kind of approved by the public. And or endorsed by the public, but the document itself has some alternative solutions.
Yes, I understand. I
yeah.
So the question was: my question is: are we going to present this to whoever it is that we're going to present this as it is, you know, with the alternatives, or should we always have a preferred solution?
I think we can narrow down our to our preferred alternative.
I see. And who are we going to present this to? The council or to ICANN board?
Chavez, this is Bart, and he will.
Yes.
As this is part of the PDP, what will happen is it will be say there are a couple of options there, but say...
Hi, it's Giovanni.
Hi, Giovanni.
Hi.
Did someone else join before you, Giovanni?
Pardon me?
Is someone else joined before you? Can I just check?
Yes, Dan.
Hello, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Okay, say, the document on the Article 9 changes, that is part of the PDP.
I see. So it goes to the council.
Yes, as a first step, and probably now there are two options here: whether we send it out directly, if not waiting on working group one, but that needs to change the structure. Then we need to change the structure of the PDP itself, and there are arguments to say so to do it, and sec- but it needs to go to the council. If the council adopts it, then it needs to go to the CCNSO members for a vote, because it's PDP, and then it goes back to the council. If it's adopted by the members, it will be submitted to the board as a formal policy recommendation to change the bylaws.
Okay.
So it's a quite because it's the PDP. It there are several steps. Once the working group has finalized its recommendations.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Any other questions or opinions?
So going back, Hiro, going back for those who just joined, I think it's a very good idea to use the next phase of the interim report, already have a draft final report. In fact, what you're saying is prepare a draft final report at the face-to-face meeting, so it will go out, whatever necessary.
Right.
And feasible.
Thank you, Bart.
And that is, drilling down. So that's I think maybe that's something we can prepare for the San Francisco meeting. Is again say look at the interim report and maybe include some arguments in the document itself for discussion by the working group, why one option is preferred over the others.
Yeah. Yes, let's prepare for the document before the San Francisco meeting.
That makes it easier to have something. It makes it easier for the working group members to have a look at it again, because it's been quite some time now.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Bart. So we are in the. Agenda item 4. So, any other view, please? So, if you are fine, maybe I think I should reflate the conclusion of the agenda item 4, next steps regarding interim report.
Mm-hmm.
So, Chairs and Bart, would you prepare for the final document which will be submitted to the council. The draft report will be discussed in San Francisco Working Group 2 meeting, and then finalize it and submit it to the council by Working Group 2 itself or jointly with Working Group 1, right?
Yeah, and it's a, and then in fact what the working group does is submit it to me because I'm the issue manager of the PDP, and then I'll finalize it. But that's something probably we need to discuss in San Francisco as well. Is the timing of what is the preferred timing to do so? Because as some of you will know, Working Group 1 is moving slowly, and there is this big elephant in the room that needs to be tackled, that is variant management.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And on the variant management front, I think that the preferred option currently is to wait for what ICANN staff is doing, because they are preparing material and a plan for discussion on variant management specifically for new GTLDs, but the same issues will probably from a script point of view appear in the CCTLD for IDN CCTLDs, and you probably don't want two diverging sets of rules regarding variant management, because that is very, I would say, there is already confusion about variant management, and this will even confuse people more. Now, because of this, for the outside world, there's hardly any progress, and the discussions on variant management may take quite some time. It might be a possibility, say, an alternative to consider is to split the two working groups. Say that working group one will continue its work and wait for the variant management, to address variant management, but that will take time. At the same time, say, you can see there are the number of IDN CCTLDs are increasing, and maybe these should be, and they can't join the CCNSO currently, so in order to facilitate this, that the recommendations on the inclusion will move forward in order to allow the IDN CCTLDs to join the CCNSO. So that's an alternative maybe we should think of or what the working group should consider as well, and that's more of a planning strategic nature in San Francisco.
Okay.
I hope it made sense, but say from. But that is something, and I think the working groups, both working groups, should advise this. If we want to go down this path, say by splitting the two working groups, I think both working groups need to advise this to the council, because they need to take the decision to spin off this working group.
Okay. Thank you, Bob. Your explanation is very helpful. So, do others have any comments on what Bart said?
No, I just agree with Bart, because if the first working group is going slowly, so yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then they can't move forward with the elephant of the variant management in the room.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So, let's talk about that in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to talk in advance with their working group one chair about their slowness of the variant management.
Yes. I
maybe it's you, right?
No, it's not me. It's Chris.
Okay.
So I don't know if you attend going to the APTLD meeting next week.
I won't.
Oh, but as you say, what we can do is, before we have the face-to-face meeting, that we set up a meeting with the chairs and so include Demi as well.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments from all?
Nope.
All right. So let's move to next agenda item, which is 5. Changes to the rules and guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
I forget that I don't remember well how we developed this rules and guidelines document, but undoubtedly this document aims to balance the power of council and members and define the procedures of CCNSO. So, Demi and Bart, do you have any comments to add about the history of rules and guidelines document?
Demi, you want to add?
No, please, Bart, go ahead. I suppose you're the best person to relate the history on this.
There are two or three points about this. The first one, say, the rules and guidelines document, as you can see, the date itself is June 2008. I think in 2008, early 2008, the council decided to set up a rules and procedures working group. And Patricio was on it, Slobodan Milosevic was on it, Dottie was on it, and I think a third person. Abby, can you recall?
Mm.
Who the fourth was?
No, I can't.
No,
I can
it
check.
Doesn't.
If it's important, I can check.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's not important. So, and Gabby and I were involved, and say it was very clear that the CCNSO needed some additional procedures. Now, if you look at the document itself, there are, and you can see it in the structure of the document itself as well, is there is a rules document, which I'll address in a minute, and there are all these guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
And the guidelines, so just look at the table of contents. The CCNS rule is a separate story, which I will I'll comment on in a minute. All the guideline documents have been produced by this CCNSO working group on procedures. And that was a council working group, and adopted by the council in June or in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And they were called guidelines in order to express a little flexibility. If you look at them, and probably they need to be updated anyway, they don't reflect the current practice, but they guide the current practices. And especially the guidelines on the council election and on the procedure for the selection of members of the ICANN board seats 11 and 12, they are very helpful to guide the process, and I think we more or less stick to them. So that's one. But if you look at the guidelines for the liaison setting up CCNSO working groups, I think they do not really reflect the practices, but it is important to have them because they're more used as a kind of agenda how to act. And for instance, if you look at the general meetings guidelines in the council meetings, that's so. So these are more procedural documents. The CCNSO rules go back to the, the beginning of the CCNSO. What I recall is there were the CCNSO council or the CCNSO meeting started to develop them in 2004, and I recall discussions from the Kuala Lumpur meeting, and they were adopted in Cape Town. That was the next meeting, and what they did, and that's the importance of these rules. These are more the internal operating procedures between the council and the and the members of the CCNSO. And I think from that perspective, they are very, very fundamental for the CCNSO itself, because it is, at the end of the day, it's a check and balances between the council and the members' meeting. And so they've never been invoked, but it's because I think the current way in which the meeting and the council are working is, there is no need to them. But it is based on these rules that, say, the current interaction between the members and the council, on the basis of these rules, that was this interaction developed and the checks and balances are in place. So although they're not, so they are a bit separate, and they are very, very, they go back to the beginning of the CCNSO, and that's a bit about the history of these rules and guidelines.
Bartha.
Yeah.
In the document itself, there is written the working group members were Dotti, Slobodan, and Patricio.
Yeah. Okay. So I did recall it.
Yep.
And so, finally, maybe that's the important thing, because we had this set of CCNSO rules, they were included in this general overview as well, because and they are on top of it to express their importance.
Mm-hmm.
So they really go back.
Mm.
Any questions on this? Or comments? Or people have other stories about these documents?
No.
So, Hiro, over to you.
So, as Bart explained, we have these rules and guidelines on our table.
But, sorry, Hiro, can I ask something to Bart?
Yeah.
Is there any plan to, because those rules date back to 2008, June 2008, and understand that we are now called to amend some of these rules.
Yeah.
I also understand that it might probably be much better if the entire rules would be reviewed instead of reviewing only some parts. Do you happen to know via Chris or anybody at CCNSO Council level if there is a plan to review the rules in their entirety, or if it's going to be like that we just propose reviews for the parts that are related to the work done by this working group, and then the rest stays like it is now?
There is no plan, but it's clearly necessary that some needs to be updated. But say, in that sense, you can do two things: either wait until this happens, or just say as because. But I think that's the easier bit, is because this working group works on updating the ICANN bylaws to align the rules and guidelines with the proposed new bylaws,
yeah.
and take a complete review of whether they should be they reflect the current practice or should be updated, because the CCNSO wants to work differently. That's a complete different task, but mm-hmm. and they say that new task needs to deal with or needs to build upon, say, aligning on the inclusion of the IDN CCTLDs as well.
Okay, I understand. Mm.
So it's and we got the inclusion of IDN CCTLDs, and I think, depending on you can go both ways. You can do it as part of the overall review, but then you say there is not a real need to do this mm-hmm. currently, but it needs to be done at some stage. That's clear as well.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you. So I don't think we should go with the amendment as a whole of amendment. The working group too should focus on the inclusion of IDN CCTLD at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So moving on. So as Bob explained, the rules and guidelines document consists of 7 sections. They are listed on page 3.
Yep.
Of the document, and the first one is the CNSO rules, and 2 to 7 are the guidelines, and among them, the first section, the CNSO rules, includes several points that need discussion. So it seems that other 6 sections, it means that the 6 guidelines need no change if the definition of the CCNSO membership is based on CCTLD, not on mm-hmm. territory.
There's maybe 2 exceptions. Sorry, Hiro. It's the guidelines for the selection of board members and the guideline for CCNSO election procedures. The reason why we need to be updated is there are voting mechanisms in there based on membership and quorums. So that needs to be reviewed as well. But maybe that's something for the next call. I would say that I can have a closer look at them. But the CCNSO rules definitely need to be updated to reflect inclusion of IDN CCTLDs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. All right. So as to the CCNSO rules, I think Bart prepared annotated version for discussion, as you see in the Word document I sent to the list.
Mm-hmm.
35 hours ago. So please open
yep.
the document named Rules of the CCNSO .doc. So today, remaining time, I want us to walk through the comments one by one and discuss how we think about them. Bart, could you lead the discussion?
Yes, it's again, what I've done is the same I've done all, and I think, say, maybe that's the first step. I assumed the working group wants to follow the same procedure as we did with the bylaws itself. So what I've done first is include some comments to identify issues or what I think are potentially issues that need to be addressed in the rules of the CCNSO. And based on that one and based on the discussion, I think what we could do is follow the same procedure if the working group agrees by producing, say, several stages of iterations of say, potential solutions. And in this case, say, we do have some solutions already, and we need to, the working group needs to think which one it wants to suggest to change the rules of the CCNSO. So my first question to you is, as a group, do you want to follow more or less the same procedure as we did, or process as we did for the bylaws?
Mm. Yes, comment?
Yeah, I guess our task this time would be easier, because what we did was we separated membership and voting.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, my own opinions on that, you know, may have changed in the last couple of months, but notwithstanding that, I think we could apply whatever, you know, we decided before to most of these comments that you have here. Maybe we could just go over these comments.
Yeah.
And see how we can apply the previous thoughts.
Yeah, okay. That's a good idea. But say, so that was just more or less a bit over the background of why I included these comments. So if you look at the rules of the CCNSO itself, and I think this is where you already see it. Say, if you just go to Section 1, Membership, there you can see whatever the working group wants to propose, and if it's adopted, will be reflected in the rules of the CCNSO as it is, and I don't think there is a need to change this definition or procedural rule. So it says the members of the CCNSO are as defined in defined by Section 4 of Article 9 of the ICANN bylaws. Now, one of the major tasks the working group has is to come up with a new definition. that will be automatically reflected in this one. The second section is about meetings, annual general meeting. There is no reference, in my view, to even in Section 4.6, to the issue of inclusion of IDN CCTLDs. The same is for Section 2.2 and 2.3 as well, because it reflects vote of seats in his own members, and that's a very general statement, whether the seats in his own members include IDN, CCT, or the managers or not, and the notice section as well. Okay, the next one is on quorum, and I think I will not go through all of them. Section 3.3 is probably problematic, and you saw my notes. This say, as I recall, this is based on the assumption of one member per territory, so that is two members per region. Excuse me.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes. I think Bart had a phone call he had to take.
Maybe he's on mute to us.
I think he just had a phone call in his hotel room, so we need to wait.
Phone call at 4 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Seems like Paulus and Bart both dropped off the line, the operator tells me. So, let's see. So Paulus dropped off the line as well.
Okay.
Oh, okay. It seems like he accidentally hung up his phone, Bart. So he has to dial him back.
Hello, I'm back.
Hi, Bart.
That was me. I had an incoming wake-up call. I cancelled it, but they sent it again. So...
Is this Paolo? Hello, who joined? Okay, sorry.
Okay, I'm sorry for this. So it's going back to Section 3.2. This is based, as I said, on the assumption of one member per territory. And we discussed this under the bylaws. And as I said in my comments, probably this needs to, and this is, again, there is the complication of the ICANN regions here, is that we need to think how to adopt this to reflect the changes in the bylaws as well, with the inclusion of IDN CCTLDs. So that's the first one. So this was just identification of issues. I'll go on to the resolutions part. So again, this is Section 4.2, resolution in general. Meeting shall pass if properly moved and seconded, and greater than 50% of those voting vote in favor. So this is at CCNSO members meetings, and probably 4.1 needs to be included in that one as well, so where more than 66% of the members vote in favor. But that's reflected in say the work we've done until now as well. So 4.2 is something the working group may want to consider. 4.3 as well, because that's again a quorum rule, and that's something else. Maybe we need to discuss it at another stage. The electronic votes 10% of the members. Again, this is and this whole section is the issue of quorum, and I would say it is to align it with the say the conclusions in the interim report. It's almost more or less 10% of the territories who are members. Now, we can't phrase it that way, but that was, I think, the original intention of the people who designed it, and the others, I think the other ones in this section do have the same issues, with the exception of 5.2, and this is an interesting one. It depends, in my view, it depends very much on the solution the working group will propose regarding the electronic vote, say whether on and who should and how this voting mechanism will be, whether there is one representative or whether we have this stage voting. Because if there is a stage voting, and especially the electronic vote, that will take probably far more time than the 14 days as you see here. So there will be logistical issues, and that needs to be taken into consideration. Say, if you implement one of those proposed solutions, how it impacts the duration of these procedures as well. And this is probably one of the first instances where you can see this impact. Say that by making a choice for, say, the stage electronic voting, so a first round in territory of electronic voting, then and then a second round between all the territories, then you might have an issue with the duration of such a process. So I think this was the first time I saw it, and then in the 5.3, you have the same issues again with days, etc., and the quorum. So that's one. Then in 6, ratification of veto of the council. Again, the duration, etc., I had two main comments. So this is the time frame and effectiveness of the CCNO is maybe affected by the choice, and the members, etc. You saw it again. If again, is it just members or is it the territories? So members should be replaced or rephrased. So that's number 6.3. Then we go to changes to the rules. And again, this is an interesting one. Say, if the working group would propose to change this, you can see how the changing mechanism works. It is done by the CCNSO members. So that's the general meeting. Again, the 66%, it's a question, it's a quorum issue, and say under Article 9, we said it is resolved by the voting mechanism, but we probably need to revisit this one. And I've identified finally, say, a transitional issue. What I meant by it is, say, you cannot change this without changes of the bylaws, but if the bylaws change at the same time, what is the role of IDN CCTLDs? So there is a solution there as well. And that's about it. That's at least, these were some of the issues I identified with regarding to the CCNSO rules thinking about the inclusion of IDN CCTLDs. Any questions?
Bart?
Yeah?
Thank you for the work. It's very good work. Just a proposal to think about. I think we have two ways to go forward in changing the wording in this case. One is if we don't want to look inside the territories, we can use territory instead of member, as you said,
in
any place. You can put territories inside in place of when you say quorum or number of percentage of votes, we change it. We'll change members for territories.
Yeah.
The other way to go forward is to look inside the territories. In this case, one way to proceed is to change members to voting units or something like this.
Yeah.
Then you can change members by voting units. If you have 5%, 50% of voting units in some direction or so. In this case, you have to compose what is a unit of voting, maybe using small parts of many pieces of votes inside the territory. I think this is a little bit more complex. But we have to decide if we want to look inside the territories or if you want to hear the voice of the territories as one single voice. Thank you.
May I add to that, say, what I think as well, and that's probably going to be the main preparation for the San Francisco meeting as well. This document, because it needs to be aligned with the proposals for the changes of Article 9. It seems obvious, but say, as Demi pointed out, say, if you just do territories, it is very much dependent on how we're going to resolve Article 9, how this is going to change. And I think what we need to do in preparation is to understand, for instance, the issue of timelines, how it is dependent upon the proposed mechanism under the bylaws as well. So as I just explained, so if you don't look into territories, and you say just territories and leave it up to territories, excuse me, so you put a burden on the territories to come up and you don't look at the days, you put an enormous burden upon the territories to come up with something within 7 days if there is an issue. And so maybe that needs to be reflected in the draft final report as well, because we have to look at them at the same time, I think.
Yes, I agree. So if we think about the inside the territory, for example, the fraction of one vote for each member from one territory, maybe it's not easy to satisfy the quorum, for example, 10% or 50%. So I believe that one vote per territory with no fraction.
So and then you're heading down to almost the case of countries or territories need to select one representative.
Right.
And then you leave it up to the territories how they want to color this rule.
Mm.
But this is where you can see the impact, and that's the good thing, that you can see the impact of the choices the working group will make on with regard to Article 9, how they impact the some of the other stuff as well. And you will probably see the same with regard to the guidelines for the selection of board members and the selection of councillors.
Yes. So at this moment, for example, today's aim is to identify the issues.
Yeah.
And the next step is to list up the alternatives and prefer and pros and cons of each alternative, right?
Yeah, that is say, if you look going back to say probably Shava's question, say first look at the issues, and maybe that determined the process to move forward, and the easiest way forward, if I represent Shava's view correctly, it's maybe this answers Shava's question.
Right.
Shava's? Did I quote you correctly?
No, he has dropped off.
Oh.
They will redial him.
Yeah.
Okay. So do others have any comment?
No.
Okay, if not, thank you, Bart. I appreciate your elaboration. So, moving forward, us means the Bart and Chairs, let's prepare for the alternative solutions and pros and cons document before the San Francisco meeting.
Yeah, okay. I sent a note, disregard that.
Okay.
Shavas, I don't know if you heard, say what we, I don't know the time you dropped off. Say, I think going over.
The last 4 minutes I've been away.
Okay. So now the question was, if I recall correctly, you asked the question, first have a look at the issues, and then the next phase is let that determine our way forward.
Yeah, I heard Dennis' comments, and you were responding to that, then I got disconnected.
Yeah, but it's more that you see the, in my view, you have to align this, and it will have to align the issues in this document with what we the findings in the interim report, and this document colors in fact and shows the impact of the choices for the final recommendations.
That's true.
And the example is, for instance, if you would go for and that's the point I think from Demi, the time or the timing or the duration of processes, etc., is easier to manage if you appoint one representation per territory, or if the territory appoint one representative and makes that known. If not, if you would have a fractional voting, etc., some of this becomes completely nonsensical, I will almost say, and it will take quite some time to get it organized. And these are still two of the options in the interim report.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So that was a bit of a comment, and the next stage would be I think Heroes. Proposal that the chairs will produce, a similar kind of document that we use in the regarding Article 9. So now, if there are no additional issues, regarding this point, come up with some recommendations, etc., or potential solutions for discussion in San Francisco as well.
Yes, that's my proposal. So, do you have any comments on how we proceed? Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Bart, and others for the discussion. So, I think we have decided how we proceed for the next meeting. So let's decide the next meeting clearly here, the agenda item 6 next meeting. So how about we will not hold a conference call before San Francisco, and we will have discussion on the mailing list as far as we can before San Francisco meeting. If you have any other issues in mind, come up in mind, so please send it to the mailing list. And discuss in San Francisco meeting on Thursday morning at 9, which is March 17th. So, is that okay for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. So what we could do is I'll let me have a look. I won't have time this week, but maybe next week I'll try to draft something for the chairs, and tentatively, if say we were very successful in the last, say, in between Brussels and Cartagena, say over one or two calls to come up with a reasonable document. So we, so maybe on a tentative basis, have one call prior to the San Francisco meeting, because if you look at the agenda, we have a face-to-face meeting scheduled for 1 hour, and we're now putting a lot of stuff in that 1 hour.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
So
it's be more active on the list, I guess.
Yeah, and otherwise, yeah. So what I'll do is, if you agree, excuse me, that can be done very, very easily on the list. I'll have a look at the two other issue or two other guidelines where I think there are some issues with regard to the inclusion or as a result of the inclusion of IDN CCTLDs. And I'll forward them to the list. So this is more identification of issues, and then the working group can have a look at it and whether it wants to agrees to it. So that is, say, a small action item for me over as soon as possible, and based on that Demi, Hero, and I prepare a document for discussion on potential solutions. And send that around, say, just rules and procedures, as a first reading, say, and then maybe have a call or not, but maybe schedule one, say, early March, and then have the face-to-face meeting in San Francisco.
Okay.
Because then we at that time, and I think that is important at the time that both documents are at the same of. Say we reviewed the rules of the CCNSO and the guidelines, and we're at the same level as the interim report, and then it's easier to make to come up with choices which direction to go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you, Bob. So having heard that, I think that we should tentatively set up a conference call date in early March. For example, Thursday is the 3rd of March at the same time on Thursday. And it's tentative, so if we discuss enough on the mailing list, we can cancel the call. But please mark up the date, March 3rd, on your schedule. Is it okay for you?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as it's this time, it's okay for me.
March 3rd, at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thank you about the proposal and the future work again. Okay, on my list, it's agenda items were done. So, any other business? Okay, thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Bart.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.